Helen Miss Lily's kindergarten Sunday school class. She was teaching how everything in the world was created by God, including human beings. Little Georgie was particularly interested in how Eve was created out of Adam's rib. Well, later in the week, the five-year-old's mother found him lying down as though he were ill. She asked him, "Georgie, what's the matter?" To which Georgie replied, "I have a pain in my side. I think I'm going to have a wife." The other story I came across about Adam and Eve was the story of the Garden of Eden was being taught to the children and being explained in Vacation Bible School. Following this story, the children were told to draw a picture to represent the story of Adam and Eve in the garden. Little Emily was most interested and drew a picture of a car with three people in it. In the front seat behind the wheel was a rather large man, and in the back seat, a man and a woman. The teacher was at a loss to understand how this illustrated the lesson, but little Emily was prompt with her explanation. Why, this is God driving Adam and Eve out of the garden. Each year on the first Sunday of Lent, we have readings about first the temptation of Christ in the desert. But I preach about that each year. But this year I wanted to speak about the first reading, which is the reading of the temptation of Adam and Eve by the devil in the Garden of Eden. If you have a moment to take a look at your missalette, and you'll see that this comes from Genesis chapter 2. And let's take a look at this because it teaches us a great deal about how we're tempted, you know, because we can be tempted by the world, the flesh, or the devil. And what this shows is the steps of how people are first tempted and then dwell upon it, give into it, rationalize, and then yield to temptation, which leads to, of course, sin and disobedience. So let's take a look for a moment at this wonderful first reading from Genesis. First it says, God formed man out of the clay of the ground. And this relates to Lent, doesn't it? Because a few days ago, the priest or minister said, when they placed dust on our foreheads, remember man, you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. So here we have the book of Genesis reminding us that God created our first parents out of the dust of the earth. He created Adam out of the dust. And we too will go back to the dust from which we came. And God breathed life into man and so formed a living human being. And then it says, God planted a garden in Eden. Now it's interesting, if you read the Bible from cover to cover, there are three main gardens in redemption. You have the Garden of Eden, where paradise was lost. You have the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus went through his bloody sweat, where paradise was restored. And then you have the Garden of the Resurrection, when Jesus showed himself to those believers after he rose from the dead. Those are the three gardens of Scripture. Well, in this Garden of Eden, we have God planting trees. One of them was the tree of life in the middle of the garden. The other was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But then enters onto the scene the serpent, who is, of course, the devil, taking this form, whatever form it was, the form of a serpent. And the devil was an angel, a beautiful angel, Lucifer, who was magnificent. But he rebelled against God. He chose to sin and choose to do his own will rather than God's will. And he fell into hell. And because he lost everything, he wanted these first parents, Adam and Eve, to lose everything as well. And so first he comes to Eve, and he's trying to lead her into sin. Notice what he does first. He tries to sow confusion. He makes a ridiculous statement, and he says, did God really tell you not to eat from any of the trees in the garden? See, the devil's trying to make God's teaching look ridiculous. Isn't that what many people do? They try to make the teachings of the Bible, the teachings of God, the teachings of the church look ridiculous. And You see this sometimes in the secular newspapers where they misrepresent and confuse people by making the teachings of God and the church look ridiculous. And so the devil's saying, what kind of God is this to tell you not to eat from any of these trees? Well, see, that's what he's sowing doubt. He's sowing confusion. In our society, there's a lot of doubts and confusion. That's why people are led astray and they fall into sin, because they're confused about the teachings of Christ in the church sometimes. Well, the woman responds, Eve responds, and she gets this right. We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. So human freedom is very broad, but it's only about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, you shall not eat it or even touch it, lest you die. So human freedom is very broad, but it has limits. It has limits. We have the Ten Commandments, and we live our life in the Ten Commandments. So there are limits. We can't go around killing, we can't go around stealing, we can't go around doing these things. So then, how does the devil respond? He says, you certainly will not die. So what he's doing, the devil is calling God a liar. The devil is the father of lies, and he's calling God a liar. He says, you certainly shall not die. And then he tries to make God look like the bad guy, the enemy. And he says, God knows well that the moment you eat of it, you will become like gods and know what is good and what is evil. He's basically saying, if you eat of this forbidden fruit, you'll become your own God. And you can determine for yourself what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil. And isn't that what our society says today? You're your own God, you're your own Pope. You can decide whatever you want to do as right from wrong. And so the devil is first sowing seeds of confusion, and now he's calling God the enemy, he's calling God a liar, when he himself is the father of lies. And then what happened, this is the downfall of Eve. She begins to gaze upon the tree. And notice what it says. She noticed that the food looked good. It was pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom. This was the downfall of Eve. She began to give in to temptation. She began to dwell upon it. She didn't reject it. Like in the gospel today, Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Eve begins to dialogue with the devil. She does not reject the devil right away. She begins to rationalize. She begins to doubt God's teaching. And she yields through disobedience and commits the sin of disobedience. And then, so she took some of the fruit, she ate it, and then she brought it to Adam. And Adam also consented and disobeyed God and ate the forbidden fruit. So as they say, that the problem really was not the apple on the tree, it was the pear on the ground. That was the big problem. And so God comes onto the scene and says, Adam, what did you do? And the Bible says, Adam blamed Eve, Eve blamed the serpent, and the serpent didn't have a leg to stand on. Okay, so that's what happened. It says, then Adam and Eve, their eyes were opened, and they realized their shame. They realized they were naked, and they clothed themselves. Because they had been clothed by God's grace. They had been clothed by these beautiful gifts of sanctifying grace. They had now committed a mortal sin of disobedience to God. And now they were without God's friendship. The gates of heaven were now closed. And so God would have to send his son, Jesus, the new Adam, to become man, to die on the cross, to open the gates of heaven, and to redeem the world. That's why the second reading today says that sin entered the world through one man, but Jesus, the new Adam, redeemed us. So what I think we should take from today's gospel is be on guard against temptation. It's interesting, Bishop Sheen makes a good point. He says, before people sin, the devil pretends to be our friend. And he tries to paint God as the enemy, as the bad guy, saying, oh, God doesn't want you to do this. He doesn't want you to have fun. But after we sin, the devil becomes our accuser. And then God becomes our friend and the Father of mercy, where we turn to for forgiveness. So be very careful of the temptations of the evil one. He will make sin attractive. See, according to the Bible, Eve began to look in how desirable this fruit was, how pleasing to the eye. See, temptations are attractive. That's why they're temptations. If they weren't, they wouldn't be temptations. So first there's the attraction, this desire. But the secret is to get rid of it right away. Reject it immediately. Don't dialogue with the devil. Don't begin to rationalize. You can use examples. Let's say at work you have a desire to steal something. Well, immediately you have to get rid of that thought. If you dwell upon it and you start plotting and scheming how you can steal that thing, see, that leads to the action. Adultery is the same way. You see someone, and if you continue to, let's say, desire that person more and more, that will lead you down the wrong path. You have to immediately cut that off and stay faithful to your marriage and your vocation. So the thing is not to rationalize and think, well, everybody's doing it, or the newspapers say it's okay. What does the Bible say? What does the teachings of the church say? What does God's teaching say? Don't fall into the confusion that is so prevalent in our society. So Eve yielded to temptation, she gave in, and because of that, she and Adam sinned and lost the grace of God. So our job during Lent is to be strong with God's grace, to resist temptation, to cut it off immediately, and not to give into it, not to dwell upon it, but to immediately cut it out of our lives.